SOP 195, if content is king, what is queen?
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
All right, welcome to the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you very much for tuning in. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, or you can call in your comments toll-free, courtesy of podcast voicemail at 888-563-3228. And we're just going to hop right to it. This is where we talk about all things podcasting, how to plan your podcast, how to produce it, how to promote it. And I got a question from a listener that said, Dave, how many episodes does it take to build up an audience? And that varies. A couple things we have to think about first. Number one, how do you define success? Now, I just looked at my show stats. I use Libsyn. You can find them at libsyn.com. It's libsyn.com. And this last week's episode, which has been out, I think, for 2 weeks now, has been downloaded 515 times. Now, I don't know why people don't share their stats, whatever. I don't care. 515 times last episode. And people like to compare themselves to the best of the best, like Leo Laporte, who is a guy that was on TV, is now moved into podcasting, has, who knows, hundreds of thousands of downloads per episode. A lot. Adam Carolla, radio personality, broadcast nationwide, went off of radio, went on to podcasting. I think he had like 500,000 downloads of his first episode. So when I say I have 500 listeners to my last show, I feel like a drop in the bucket. If you get in a room with 500 people, that's a lot of people. Now, how many episodes does it take? Depends on, there are things you can do. It's number one, obviously, the better the content you have, the more people are going to talk about it and tell other people to listen. There's a podcast at thesurvivalpodcast.com. I have had three different people tell me about this because it's kind of wacky, conspiracy theorist kind of, you know, we're all preparing for doomsday kind of podcast. And I've heard a couple people talk about that podcast. I listened to it. It wasn't really my bag. I kind of tune in and out of it. But when you get people talking about your podcast, and that's why we say your podcast should move your listeners or viewers. It should make them laugh. It should make them cry. It should make them think. It should make them mad. It should entertain them in some way. And when you get people to do that, they will start to talk about it. So how many episodes, it's hard to say. But also, don't get frustrated if you have 70 listeners. Now, the other thing that I want to point out here is, number one, when we hear about people that have thousands of listeners, and if you go to the Rock and Roll Geek show at rockandrollgeek.com, Michael Butler, great guy, has been on the show before. You hear about Keith and the Girl, another comedy podcast not that Michael's isn't a comedy pod, it's actually a music show, but they have their podcast. They have a huge forum, as does Michael, has a huge forum. Dawn and Drew, another podcast that has been around. The Rock and Roll Geek and Dawn and Drew have been around since 2004. Now, the great thing about that, and this does not, I don't want to take away from, say, Dawn and Drew. I listen to the Rock and Roll Geek show. I tune in and out of Dawn and Drew. But the nice thing about people that started in 2004, in fact, there's a internet marketing podcast, and they were talking about that has thousands of listeners. And the reason they basically said, how did we grow our audience? They said, we were lucky. Because when we started, there were no other internet marketing podcasts. Cliff Ravenscraft has a huge audience for his Lost podcast. Cliff, very nice guy, met him at PodCamp Ohio, basically got lucky. He launched a podcast about the TV show Lost like the week before the actual television show put out an official Lost podcast. So when people Googled Lost podcast, they found Cliff, and he got a huge audience. Now, for people that started brand new, most of them have big audiences because there was no competition. I call this the Milton Berle effect. Now, I don't remember Milton Berle. He was actually before my time. I don't get to say that very much. His show was on TV in 1948, and I was actually talking to somebody who actually used to watch this show. And I said, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Milton Berle up against a test pattern? And she said, yes, actually during the day, that's all they showed was test patterns because there weren't enough shows. So when Milton Berle came on, everybody watched because it was better than a test pattern. So consequently, Milton Berle was a huge television star in the 50s. He was like Mr. Television. Why? Because he had no competition. So some of these people, now Milton Berle had to be funny as well, but I mean, actually he didn't because he was up against a test pattern. But these early podcasters, and the ones that are still around because they have good content. But they did get an advantage by being the first. So we always say content is king, and I used to say production is queen, because people will sit through bad content. I'm sorry, people will sit through good content even through bad production. So if it's not that great sounding podcast, I'll put up with it because it's great content. The opposite is never the truth. You will not sit through great quality production, a phenomenal sounding podcast that has caca, poo-poo, horrible content that you could care less about that doesn't move you, is never ever gonna go. So the problem now is if you search for podcasts about your topic, you're going to probably find a podcast about it. Now, if you don't find a podcast about it, hallelujah, you are the first. You get to be the Milton Berle of your niche and jump on it now before your competition does. But chances are if you do a music podcast, you're going to go, wow, there's already 17 blues podcasts. That's okay. The great thing about podcasting is you're the producer. You're the program director. You get to pick how long it is. You get to pick how frequently it puts out an episode. You don't have to worry about offending sponsors because you get to pick your sponsors. And you get to communicate directly with your audience. And while I like my blues, I like wicked guitar playing, shredding blues, electric blues. That's why I like A1Blues.com, who happens to be a member of the School of Podcasting. I like, me and Mark are pretty much, I think, on the same page. When I listen to the Roadhouse podcast, he's a little more into harmonica, and it's just not my cup of tea. And so your podcast is going to be unique because of you. However, most of us are not going to have the Milton Berle effect anymore. We're going to jump into a pool that already has 10, 12 podcasts in it. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, when you go to iTunes, let's say, and you search for your topic, or you go to Podcast Alley, you go to Podcast Pickle, just because there are 12 other podcasts doesn't mean those people are still podcasting. Many people think, hey, if I just list my podcast in iTunes, I'll be famous. Not the case. I'm doing an experiment. I've been talking about this. I'm putting out a podcast. It has 4 episodes out. I am doing zero, not a zip promotion for this. The only thing I've done is I've put it in iTunes. And so far, I think the last episode had 10 episodes downloaded, 10 listeners, 10 downloads of that episode. The previous ones were like 8. So just putting it in iTunes is not going to make you famous. So what's queen to killer content, to phenomenal content? Because I'm going to just say production is a given. It's just a given that you have a decent sounding podcast. And you can get a decent sounding podcast pretty easy. Today I'm talking into a Shure SM58 that's recording into my Zoom H4. I could have recorded this right on the Zoom H4 in my car. A lot of people are doing that. So what's the queen then of great content? Promotion. You've got to have great promotion. Now, not so much that you have to run a billboard, but you've got to be constantly promoting your podcast. And I do that via business cards. I have business cards that really don't point people to me to contact me. It says, it has my logo, and you have a logo for your podcast, right? Something that you can put on t-shirts and sell, and something that identifies people that they go, okay, yeah, I've seen that. I recognize that shape. That's the logo of the podcast. You've got your logo. You've got the name of the podcast. You've got some sort of tagline. So like if I were to make a business card for this podcast, it would say schoolofpodcasting.com at the top. It would have my logo, the little, you know, schoolofpodcasting.com with the hat and the microphone. And it would probably say free podcasting tips. So they see the website, they see free podcast or free podcasting tips. And I might also put also available in iTunes, gives you a little credibility. Ooh, they're in iTunes. And I would hand these cards to people if I was going to the expo, more on that in a second, I would be handing these out. They're like 2 cents a piece. I have typically business cards for all of my podcasts, and I will leave them with the waiter when we eat out. I will put them in places. I just leave them everywhere. That's how I promote my podcast. And that way, if I run into anybody that I just happen to be talking to, oh, here's my card. Here's where you can go listen to it. So it's not just having great content, because people have to find you. And how are they going to find you? Because you're going to have to tell them. The great thing about the Rock and Roll Geek Show and Dawn and Drew and Keith and the Girl, they have this huge tribe of people that are following them. And that started with two people who told two people who told two people. And that slowly grows. That doesn't happen overnight. But the great thing is, as your tribe grows, as your community grows, they're going to give you insights into your show. Hey, that was really good. Did you know such and such? I just got an email from a fan of mine that said, hey, I really like the podcast, just discovered it. Did you know this podcast and this podcast and this podcast? And I said, yes, I've actually been on two of those. Oh, and do you know how you can help me with this? Yes. And I went, okay, there's next week's topic. His question is next week's topic on that show. And over time, your audience will grow by creating great content, by constantly keeping your podcast in front of your fans. So if I did a blues let's go back to Mark at A1Blues.com. If I'm going to a blues concert, there's my audience. And he does. He goes to a lot of concerts. That's how he interviews people, things like that. I would have business cards that say, you know, free blues music, maybe. You know, great blues music and interviews, A1Blues.com. And I'd have my little logo there with the yellow dot and the guitar. Why not? Pass them out. There's your audience. Go where your audience is and let them know where your podcast is. That's got to be the key now. Because it's not going to be a case now where, let's say there are 15 blues podcasts. When you go into iTunes or Podcast Alley, you got now a 1 in 15 chance that these people will listen to your podcast. This is where your podcast name really comes into play. Marks make sense. A1 Blues. Well, we kind of usually know a great A is good. A1 means you're number one. A1 must be Super Great Blues. You made an easy-to-find domain name, a1blues.com. So, content is king, production is a given, and promotion is the oil in your engine. Now, the other thing I need to talk about today is the fact that while I mentioned in a previous episode that I would be going to the Blog World New Media Expo, a very, very, very long story short, I'm not. Some personal family emergencies have popped up, and while I was really looking forward to meeting up with the Today and Podcasting guys and basically meeting anybody else that was going there, I haven't been to the expo in 2 years. I didn't go last year because I was attending college. And this year, the caca poo poo has hit the fan, and every time I go to buy my plane tickets, something breaks, like a car or a dryer or a dog or, I don't know, I move, you name it, personal expenses, and or we have illness in the family. That's another concern with parents and such. So I'm just not able to go. So if you were, I still highly recommend it. If you're headed there, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/expo. It's always great fun, but I will not be attending, unfortunately. Oh, one last thing. I do have one other note. In the past, we've talked about naming your podcast. Now, it should be obvious. In the past, I had a podcast consulting company, because there's the School of Podcasting, if you're kind of a do-it-yourself kind of person. But if you want one-on-one coaching and things like that, I had Podcast Fast Pass. Now, this came because my brother and sister-in-law are Disney freaks. They love Disney. When you go to Disney, you can buy a Fast Pass and jump right to the front of the line. I'm like, oh, that's a great concept. You know what? I'm going to do podcast consulting. I'm going to call it Podcast Fast Pass. Except every time I say Podcast Fast Pass, I have to say Fast Pass. Otherwise, it sounds like Podcast Fast Pass, and people spell it F-A-S-S-P-A-S-S, and that's not it. So if you have to explain your name or spell it to people, you've picked the wrong name. So my consulting services now will be seen under Podcast Mechanic. What's a mechanic do? He fixes things. And if you need your podcast reviewed, if you need voiceover work, if you need custom WordPress themes, things like that, check it out, podcastmechanic.com, if you're looking for the one-on-one approach to podcasting. If you're looking to do it yourself and jump into the podcast pool, that can be seen at start.schoolofpodcasting.com. And if you want to contact me, it's very easy. My voicemail, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com, is 888-563-3228. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, and of course our website, schoolofpodcasting.com. And everything we talked about today, you can find at shownotes.schoolofpodcasting.com. Thank you very much for tuning in. Let me remind you, as I record this, it's October 20th. It's time to start living a life worth podcasting about. And if you don't start podcasting soon, your competition is. I'll see you next week with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Till then, class is dismissed.